Sunday, Vav Nissan, Rabbi Tzvi, Mamasdin, Manishtana, what's the difference?
There was three Bacharim coming home from Yeshiva on the same train. One of them was a Ponovizhia Bachar, a Mira, and a Briska. And they were passing through a village, they looked out the window, and they see three black cows. So the Ponovizhia is known for his Chedushim. He goes over and he says, must be that in this village there's only black cows. The mirror turns round to him and he says, what are you talking about? There's three black cows, but maybe all the rest of them are white. And the Briska turns round to the mirror and says, who said that these cows are black? Maybe only one side is black, the other side is white. So I'd like to share with you a Briska deal on the Manishtana. We say, Manishtana halayla hazeh. Why is this night different? The question is, who said it's different? Who said it is different? Why do we ask Manishtana halayl hazeh shebechol alaylis, because in all the other nights we do this, we do that? We should say Manishtana hasu'uda hazois. Why is this su'uda different? Why is this night different? Who said the night's different? We should say shebechol hasu'dois, we eat chametz and matzah. Hasu'uda hazeh matzah, hopefully. We're going to come to that. The Vilna Gaon deals with this question. Second question is that the Mefarshim explain the Pshat in the Manishtana and the Teretz of Avod Meyinu, that we're asking, why is the night, why is the Seuda full of steers? On the one hand, we celebrate Cheirus, we drink wine, we're Masubim, we lean. On the other hand, we remember the Avdus, the Inuy, the Shibud, and we speak all about it. And that's really the steer, that's the question of the Manishtana. How can it be that we're doing at the same time, we have the Avdus and we have the Cheirus? What's it all about? And the answer given is that Avodim Ayinu, we used to be Avodim, and now we're B'nai Chayrin. So my question is, why didn't the Seder, the Balagoda, set up and design the Seder in such a way? The first half of the night, we should all be dressed in rags, we should speak about the Inuy, the Shibud, all the pain. And then, halfway through the Seder, put on our kittles, drink the Arba Kosas, speak about the Cheirus, sing Hallel. Design in such a way, if we're remembering the Avdus, first the Avdus, and then Baruch Hashem, Hashem took us out and made us B'nai Chayrin, it should be the Seder is not the Seder. It's not an order. A third point I'd like to ask. It's really the Gaon's question. Why do we say Haggadah at night? Most of the mitzvahs in the Torah are mitzvahs which are done by day. Example, Lunt of Shofar, Tzitzis, Efshet Tefillin. They're all mitzvahs which are done by day. Haggadah is done by night. The question's even further, because the way the Torah tells us to do the mitzvah Haggadah is v'higadta levincha bayoy mahu lemer. So the Balagoda asks the kasha, bayoy mahu, I bayoy, you would have thought it's bayoy, tamud lema b'shashi yesh matzah bavuzeh, b'shashi yesh matzah mori menachem lefanecha. So the question is, so why did the Torah write it in such a strange way? It could have told us, like it says, Be'erev Tochlu Matzahs, eat matzahs by night. It could have told us, Be'erev Why does it say, why does it tell you the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? It tells you to do it bayoyim. Which means, which we can work out that bayoyim means balayla. So those are the three questions. We've only got three, not four. But I'll just summarize the three questions. The first question is, Manishtana halayla zeh, who said the night is different? Second question was, there's a stira between Avodim and Bnei Chorin, we were Avodim, and now we're Bnei Chorin, then the Seder ought to be designed in such a way, first Avodim, then Bnei Chorin. Third question was, why is the mitzvah of Haggadah by night, why is it written in such a fashion that means, Vigadta Levincha Bayoimahu, but really means at night? Those are the three questions. So the Gaon really asked this question, this last question, of surely the mitzvah of Haggadah is different than all other mitzvahs. All other mitzvahs are done by Yoim, and most of the mitzvahs are done by Yoim, and Haggadah is done by night. And he answers, fascinating answer. He says that the night of Leil Yetzias Mitzrayim has got a din of the day. It's not night, it's not a regular night. It's really day. And he proves it from the fact that the Torah says, V'gadta levincha bayoimahu leimer. Bayoimahu means at night, but that night is bayoim. It is day. And they also did Mila. Rashi tells us that they did Mila by night. In Mitzrayim, that night of the day, they did Mila. So that Mila normally can't be done by night. Mila is only done by Yom. But then, that night had a din of Yom. I saw quoted B'Shem the Zohar Kaddish. It says that Laila Kiyem Yoy, one of the Tanoim asked Reb Shimon Meichai, he asked one Tana first that why is it that Makkos Bechorus was done at night, whereas all the other Makkos were done by Yom? So they didn't know the answer, so they went to ask Reb Shimon Meichai, and Reb Shimon Meichai said to him, it was done by Yom. The night became light. It became literally, physically, it turned from darkness to light. There was a special nace that everyone should be able to see the Geula. They'd be able to see that there's Makkos Bechorus and see what was happening. So the Gaon is telling us that this night is a different kind of night. The night is not really a regular night. It's a daytime. It changed. The night of Yetzias Mitzrayim changed. But we can take it a little bit further. From the words of the Gaon, implies that not only that night, the night of Leil Yetzias Mitzrayim was like day. Laila Kiyom Yoris is Lashon of Pasuk in Tehillim. Kuf Lamed Tes. It says that this night is the night of Leil Yetzias. But rather every single night of the Seder night, it is Laila Kiyom Yoris. What's the proof? The proof is because it says V'higadta Levincha Bayoimahu Leimer. That Bayoimahu, that mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, is not only for that year, the year of going out, when they went out of Mitzrayim. It's every single year, and the Torah refers to that night as a night of Bayoim, as the daytime. So what does this mean? Bishloma, then, I can understand. It physically, it changed. It lit up. Laila Kiyom Yoy, it lit up. But what does it mean that every single year, this night is a night of Yoy? So I saw Shem Nesasemes, he explains that night means choshech. It's dark, it's unclear, don't understand. And Yoim represents the clarity, understanding, appreciation of Ribbono Shel Olam. Leil Yetzias Mitzrayim, Vigad talvincha bayoyim ahu leimor. On Seder night, a person is meant to get to the dargah that his night becomes day. The difficulty is that has a certain clarity, a certain appreciation that there's a closeness to Rabbeinu Shlolem and there's a Leila Kiyom Yoy. It shines, one can appreciate to a certain extent the clarity. Just like then in Yitzhak Mitzrayim, when they went through the whole Shibbol, the whole tremendous Oni of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, when they finally, ultimately, went to the Geula, they went finally all the way to the end and Rabbeinu Shlolem took them out, they started to appreciate the whole Shibbol. It wasn't just a Shibbol and Oni, a Laila, Faket. It became Laila Kiyom Yor, it lit up, they understood it, they had that clarity. And that's what it means every single year, V'gadta l'vincha b'yayim ahu leimur. Then there becomes a certain element of clarity, a dveikus, appreciation of Ribbono Shel Olam, even through the galus. And this is what we mean, Manishtana halayla hazeh. The Vilna Gaon says, Laila is loshen nekeva. Like we say, leilois nekevois, right? The vav sof at the end makes it the plural of loshen nekeva. So laila is loshen nekeva, and hazeh is loshen zacha. So the Vilna Gaon says that's exactly what's happening. Man ishtana halaila hazeh. Why is this laila, which is nekeva, which is mekabel? It's hazeh. It's zacha. It's mashpia. The night has changed. It's changed today. It's changed to a time of appreciation, a time of clarity, where a person can be dovuk to Rabbeinu Shlem and appreciate to Rabbeinu Shlem even in the galus, even in the choshech, even through the inui. Perhaps that's why we have the korech. What's the korech? We take the matzah umoroi, ba'uchlam biyachad, we do it b'heseva. We take everything, the shibud, the difficulty, the matzah, which represents the lechem oini halach ma'anya, and we have it together with the mori at the same time, and we lean together because that's an appreciation of the golos. The golos and the geula are not steerous; they're all one. There's a fascinating tour where the tour gives a siman, a person can work out his whole year, the whole calendar, the whole luach, if he just knows the date of the first night of Pesach. He can work out the whole calendar. And the siman is brought in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh. Is Atbash. First night is Aleph. First night is the Aleph. And that corresponds with the Tov. The Tov is Tisha B'Av. Right? And then the base, the second night of this, so the first night this year would be on Monday night. So we can work out that Tisha B'Av is going to be on Monday night too. Second night, which is. Base Pesach, yeah, corresponds with Bash, the Shin. What's the Shin? Shin is Shavuos. Third night of Pesach, or third day of Pesach, is Gimel. That its partner is Reish. Reish is Rosh Hashanah. Fourth night of Pesach is it corresponds. Its partner is a Kuf, which is Kriyas HaTorah, Simchas Torah. Fifth night is Hey goes with Tzadi. Tzadi is Tzom Kippur. And the sixth night is Vav. Vav goes together with Pei, which is Purim. So you can work out all the dates of the year based on this Atbash. I once heard an interesting story about this Atbash. I'll tell you how it comes into this point. Stick on a minute, but very interesting story. There was a Tanzer Chassid in pre-war Europe, and he was going. He always used to walk the same route every single day, with his Gemara under his arm, and he was always very deep in thought. And from the opposite direction, there was a boy similar age to him, who Nebuch had been captured by the Enlightenment. He was a scholar. I don't know exactly if he was Reform, Chesnish. He wasn't on the say. He was actually crossed paths every day with this person. He would come from the other direction, while this Bachel used to go to yeshiva. They crossed paths every day. It disturbed him immensely that this boy, this Bachel, this Tzander Chusad, he would hold his Gemara under his arm, and he was always deep in thought, while he didn't have much to think about. So one day he plucks up the courage and he blocks this Bacha, who stands in front of him, tries to go around, doesn't go around, and he stops him. He looks at him and says, "Why are you thinking so much? What are you thinking about?" He says to the Bacha. So the Bacha thinks for a second, and he says, "Well, I'm thinking about my Gemara." He says, "What's in the Gemara?" So he opens it, and he sees there's Aleph Beis in the Gemara. He doesn't understand. So he says, what's there to think about Aleph Beis all day? I mean, what? I also know Aleph Beis, this boy. So the Bacha thinks for a minute, and he says to him, "I'll tell you something about Aleph Beis." And he tells him this, the Atbash, the Simonon Atbash. And he's very impressed. He was into maths, and he worked out the dates, appealed to him. And he remembered the Simon at the first night Pesach. As you know, the first night Pesach can work out the whole year. And he's very taken by it. And he walks away, he has a different appreciation for this Chassid, this Tzander Bacha. Many years later, this person advances and he goes into to some communist. He gets attracted to communists, and he comes very high up in the communist regime. And then one day Stalin takes all the communists and sends them to Siberia, and this person was among them. He was one of those who was sent to Siberia. He heard on the way that there's a Rav in Siberia. So the first thing he did when he got to Siberia was send a message to this Rav. He's got nothing anymore. He doesn't have any Yiddishkeit. He doesn't have any. He wasn't very frum, but he thought that now or never, I have to somehow connect with this Rav. I sent a message to the Rav, and he asked him, "When is the first night Pesach?" He gets the message back. The Rav was on the other side of Siberia. He managed to get the message back. Knows exactly when it is. He sits down, writes a calendar, and he works out the whole of the Yiddish year. And he works out that he's standing a couple of days before Rosh Hashanah. So he says to his friends, "This guy's not from, right?" He says to his friends, "But we have to go and do something. Let's try and something, some form of Rosh Hashanah. We're going to have to do something about Rosh Hashanah." We're just a few days before Rosh Hashanah. They managed to get hold of a page of a machzor, and they davened together wherever they could daven, and this was the start of his returning to Yiddishkeit. And he became ultimately, he managed to go out from Siberia, and he became Shemit Torah Mitzvahs, all because of this Atbash. That's just a story about the Atbash. But what I want to bring out is the Torah says a very interesting siman. When he's saying the first night of Pesach is the same as Tisha B'Av, he says a siman to that. He says, "Al matzei sumaroyim yechiluhu." There's a siman. All the rest of them, he doesn't bring a siman. But that night, that point, the first night of Pesach, corresponds to the first night Tisha B'Av, the At, that is Al Matzis Murim Yechlu. What's the pshat? Pshat is because a person, they're not a steer. The Leil Pesach, the first night of Pesach, and Tisha B'Av are not stirah. The Golos and the Geula are not stirahs to each other. A person can only appreciate the Geula when he's gone through this Golos, when he connects in the Golos, he comes closer to Ribbono Shel'olam, and he appreciates that the Golos and the Geula are not al matzos. Even when you're eating matzah also represents the Geula. Al meroirim yechlu, you eat them b'yachad, like the Korach. The Shem Shmuel explains that at the beginning of Liv Seder, we say halach ma'anya de'achala v'sana. This is the bread, lach ma'anya, we call it, refer to it as the poor man's bread. Lechem of the Oni. Like, and the end of the Seder we say, v'gamlil ha'ya'ima, kol shalayama shleshe drama lalu le'yotzi de'chivosu. Ve'eloheim, Pesach matzah morim, we speak out in Pesach, matzah umorim. In matzah zu ashumma, shalay hispik avisechem. Means, this bread doesn't afflict, it doesn't represent the poor man's bread, but rather the lechem of geula. When out of Mitzrayim, then we had this bread. So is the matzah representing lach ma'anya, the poor man's bread, the bread of affliction, or does it represent, no, the bread of geula? So Shem Shmuel explains, no, that it's through the lach ma'anya that it becomes the lechem of geula. Only through the golus, through the tough times, a person can appreciate and can come to that level of connection, that dveikus to Ribbono Shel'olam, that he can have ultimately the geula. And they came to appreciate that in the Yetzias Mitzrayim. And not only did they come to appreciate that it was worthwhile, they saw how every single thing was paid for, and they understood in a deep understanding, a deep appreciation of the geulas. I'd like to share with you a story. It's quite a well-known story. I saw it in Rav Shimshon Pinkus. As a mamash, this story illustrates this point. There was in the war, just before the war, there was a group of refugees managed to escape Europe. And they went to England, and from England they sent them to a camp in Isle of Man. And the British were very worried about them, because they thought that maybe they are actually spies. So they were always very cautious, and they put them in this camp. And then they decided one day they're going to send them off to Australia. But the problem was, they didn't have sailors. They didn't want to use the young men who could sail. They didn't want to use them on the boat, because, you know, they need them for the war effort. They need them for the navy. So they looked through the prisons, and they saw that there were certain people, some of these convicts, who knew how to sail. They decided, you know, it's better, we'll use them as the we'll use them as the sailors, and then we won't have to use up our young men who are not prisoners on the boat. So they sent them, and during the course of the trip, the sailors, you know, being convicts, they weren't the most pleasant of people. And halfway through, they say to everyone, "Give us your valuables, all these hidden on the boat. Give us your valuables." So they give them their valuables. They say, "No, give us everything. We don't trust you. Give us everything." So they gave them the whole suitcase. They went rummaging through the suitcases, and they took all their valuables. And then with the rest of the suitcases, they chucked them overboard. And you can imagine the people on the yidden on the ship. So not only they took their money, but they took any connection that they had with their family. All their letters, all their photos, everything, and they just chucked it overboard. Some of these people were the sole survivors of their family. They managed to escape to England. And Now it's all gone. It's all in the water. Imagine the Tzibrochen. But they got to Australia, and they survived the war. Many years later, they found a captain's logbook, the captain of a U-boat, his logbook, and it said in it that on a certain date they met this boat. I can't remember the name of the boat. They met a boat in
Danera.
Danera. They met this Danera, and they tried to torpedo it, and it missed. So they came up and they saw they wanted to see what happened. You know, did it hit? Did it not hit? And they saw baggage in the water. So they checked out the baggage, and they saw that had German writing on it. So they decided it must be German prisoners of war, or German someone that they're sending to Australia. So they escorted this ship all the way to Australia and made sure that it was out of harm's way. And when it got to Australia, then they had German spies there, and they notified them, and it turned out they were Yidden, and they're very sorry about wasting all that on Yidden. And on the way back, they actually got rid of the boat. So all the sailors who were sailing on it, all these prisoners, they died. But the point is, sometimes it looks like, to them, it looked like so terrible. All these baggage, everything, all their shaifas, all the connection with their family, it's all gone. But that itself was the sibba of the Yeshua. It turned out, the mafreya, they could see the Yad Hashem, and that ultimately that was what saved them, because now the Germans could see that this was German people, and that saved them. And that's how it will be in the Geula Asida, when we'll be able to appreciate. It will be a matzav of Laila Kiyom Yoyim. There will be an appreciation of the darkness, of the shibud, of the golas that Klal Yisrael has to go through. And that golas will turn like Laila. And that's what we're saying on Manishtana. Manishtana ha-Laila hazeh. Why has this night become a different kind of night? The Laila, which is in the cave, has turned into a zachar. It's turned into day. And that's why we ask the Manishtana. It's not Manishtana Hasuda Hazois. It's not why is this meal different. But the night is different. There's an appreciation of that night. There's an appreciation of the goddess. And that's why it's not... The other question we asked was, surely the Seder is not in order. Of course it's in order. There's a mix of goddess and Geula coming together. We speak about the lechem oini, we lean for the lechem oini. We lean for the bread of affliction, because we've come to appreciate the golus as well. And that's why the mitzvah is at night. But really, in the Torah, it's called Vigadta Levincha by Yoimahu Lemo. The night has actually turned into a day. I'd just like to finish off with a sulam. I heard B'Shem the Bala Sulam, Perish on the Zayah, that he says something very interesting. He says, Golos, what's the difference between Golos and Geula? Golos, the word Golos, the Shoresh of the word Golos, he says, is Gimel Lamed. And Geula is Gimel Aleph Lamed Goa. What's the difference? It's the Aleph. If you insert the Aleph, which is the Rebbeinu Shalom, the Echot, the Alufoi, Shaloylam, you insert that into the Golos, then you appreciate, you can already have, in Golos you can have a shtikl Geula. There can be a certain appreciation, and we all be zeicha to taka, firstly to use the Leil Seder, and to see taka the Oir, the Leila Kiyom Yoir, and ultimately be zeicha to have the Geula Shleima, Menechel Shamin, Hezvachim, and Apsachim, in here in Amen.